Praise God. God is good. Thank you for your cooperation. You're so sweet. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Tonight we're starting a new series. We call it series, but it's just whatever the Lord's telling us to do. But it's going to be a series, all right. God is good, part one. So, well, we welcome the internet audience. We're glad that you're here with us. We hope you enjoy tonight. You're going to enjoy the word, and we're going to take him at his word. Amen. So, if you'll go over to James 1:16, while you're going, I'm going to say a few things to you. A.W. Tozer said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Can you see that? That's just so true. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Pastor Burt said something to us on our anniversary. He made this statement. He said, "You don't know the value of Victory Church." Now, he didn't say that to be negative. He said that to say there's things to explore about the value of this church. Amen. Y'all got that. You understood that. He wasn't trying to be negative. He wants us to discover how valuable we are. Right? Okay. So, when we discover the value, we change our thinking. Can you see that? Okay. So then when we change our thinking, what we're doing is we're getting our thinking in line with the truth that God has shown us. That's real simple, isn't it? But it's just the truth. And so when we're talking about God, and we're talking about God being good, I would say this to you right here. He's better than you think. He's better than you think, and you think he's pretty good. He's even better than that. And so look at James 1:16 there, and we're going to start there. We're really not going to go deep into this verse tonight. We're going to do that on another day. But I just want to mention this to you, and we'll just jump off of this. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, that's pretty plain. Don't make the mistake of thinking the wrong thing. 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is then the author of all good. Is he? He is. Everything that is good on the earth, you trace back to him. He's good. Evil comes from another origin. You got that? Evil comes from another origin. It's not coming from God. All good things on the earth, every good gift is from above. Okay. So, now, they're good if we recognize where they come from and if we treat them the way that the designer intended for us to treat them. Okay. They have to be treated that way. You recognize the value, the goodness, and then you treat the good things that way. So, because God is better than I think, I have to adjust my thinking and, listen to me, the tenderness of my heart until I live conscious both of his nature and his presence. I make the adjustments to him. So I'm going to get my thinking adjusted about him being good, and I'm going to be tenderized about him being good to get that right, get those parts right. Are you with me so far? This becomes an awareness of where we live from. So you're going to live from this place. God is good. Okay. Now, so in the same way that I travel from home to church, or I travel to another country, we're going to go to Oklahoma this Friday to go preach up there. And so but my home is out here in the country. But just the same way that this is my home, goodness of God needs to be my home. God being good. It needs to be the anchor, church. It needs to be the anchor. God is good. It needs to be the anchor of your life, because then it'll answer so many things for you. So you don't have to get off. We'd say it like this. Don't get off the beam. You'd stay in the center of the road on this thing. So it's our anchor. It's our abiding place. And that being said, what we must measure, this is what we must measure everything by. You have to measure everything by the truth, not just the fact, the truth that God is good. I wrote this in front of my Bible. I usually write this in front of all my Bibles, but I wrote this. Filter every scripture through this. God is good. Because, you know, you get into the scripture and you're reading something, you're going, whoa, whoa. No, God is good. And I'll learn what this means. I'll understand. God will show me what that means, because it didn't look like God was good right there, but you'll find out he was and that he is. So if you'll make that your anchor, and of course, I'm going to spend some time proving to you, if you don't already know that God is good, you will. So, what things happen that are not good, I go back to what I know.
Come on.
If something happens and it's out of order, it's chaos, it's not working right, there's pain, there's hurt, there's death, there's whatever it is, I've got to go back to the fact that God is good. That's still the fact. You don't change that. You can't change that. You can't come up with something else. God is good. So I would say, and I've said this to him often, well, you don't miss it, so it must be me. And so you have to be humble enough to realize that. And sometimes our pride gets in the way and we want to get mad at God. But that is your pride. Because God is good. What happens is we don't want to take responsibility for our mess ups or for other people's mess ups or our failure at the game of life. We don't want to have to admit that, so we want to just push that off on God. He gets the blame. But it's not true, because God is good. The problem is that we've measured ourselves with ourselves instead of measuring ourselves with the Bible truths. So think about this. I probably gave y'all this illustration like 5 years ago or something, and I found this. I wanted to repeat it to you. What if I decided I wanted to help a builder, and I told them that I could cut the 2x4s for them, which, by the way, I could. And let's say I knew a little bit about it, but let's say I didn't know everything about it. I'm glad I do know this. But so after I begged him for a few hours and he said, okay, you can cut the boards. And I took my saw out there and he said, I want eight foot board, cut them 8 feet. And they're all 9 feet, so we're going to cut them 8 feet. So I cut the first, I measured the first one and I cut it 8 feet. But then when I took that one and I just laid it on the next 9 footer and I cut it. And then I took that one and laid it on the next 9 footer and I cut that one. And then I continued to do that. By the time I get to 100, I will have a 9 foot board. I will have gained inches because I didn't measure every one from the beginning. You have to measure life from its source, from its beginning. Are you with me? You can't just go along and measure ourselves with what we did 100 years ago. We measure ourselves with Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Okay. So that would be really bad and I would get fired. But, you know, that wouldn't have been such a big deal if it would have just been a few boards. It wouldn't have been such a big deal. But when it got out there, it would have been serious. So for 2,000 years, we've been comparing ourselves with previous generations with only slightly differences. So to console ourselves with the task at hand, this great commission, this discipling of nations, we've created this watered down doctrines that it dismantles the examples and the commands of Jesus. It's just dismantled them. It's just dismantled what God wants, what he said he would do and who he is. Little by little. And you know this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly where I'm going. So, instead of comparing ourselves with ourselves, we should be using the original standard of the life of Jesus. So then the measure of God's goodness would be being revealed today, which, by the way, it is now. It is. But for a long time, it wasn't, church. And you could step out into some places still, some churches still, possibly around here, that they don't believe God. Now, we'll talk about this. I'll make a statement about this. They believe God is good, but they don't know the definition of good. Okay, right? But see, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good, that he's the good shepherd, that God is good and his mercy endures forever. Jesus says the kingdom cannot be divided, so God cannot make you sick and then Jesus heal you. Come on, won't work. Jesus, the whole kingdom will fall apart. The Bible says that God changes not. So, you know, a lot of people think that God is mean and bad, or he was mean and bad like in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament, he got good. A lot of people, that's kind of how some people preach it. But I think they need to study more. Because, as I've said to you many times, King James came across very differently than the original writing. So you need to go back and use your Strong's Concordance and see what Hebrew words mean. You need to see what Greek words mean, because you're going to find something that's very different than some of these things that were said. You have to understand what certain things mean, even when you take it out to the next translation, or when you're exegeting. You need to dig in. You need to find out what the real bottom truth is. Now, Old Testament, in the Old Testament days, and the writers, they didn't have the revelation that New Testament writers and we have about the enemy. Some of them thought they were just dealing with God and he just pulled all the strings. Amen. So, and so on, things like that. But, understand that God only needed to speak and set up a system. Come on. He could set up a system and it did the work. Now, we learned that when we learned big L-O-R-D, that meant there's a system in place. I've already spoken the word, and this is how it works. Choose life, get blessing. Choose death, get curse. That's the system that got set up. Why was he doing that? Well, he did that because Israel said, we don't want a relationship with you. Just give us the commands, we can do it. But they couldn't. But that's what they said. They said, just tell Moses, we don't want to talk to you. But God wanted to be the king. He wanted to be a king in relationship with his people. Not like the kings today, but he wanted to be the father type king. He wanted to be able to function with you and me, which we get the privilege of doing that. But he wanted to do that with them, but they wouldn't have it, see? Now, so, but when Jesus, on the day that Jesus was born, Luke 2:14 says that the angels appeared, and this is what they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Not peace among men, toward men. In other words, I'm offering you once again what I wanted to offer them way back there. Starting with Adam and Eve, I want to have a relationship with you. I'm offering you shalom. I'm offering that me and you are going to function now together because the Christ is in the earth. The Messiah is in the earth. Okay, y'all got that? Okay, so here's the problem. It's our definition of goodness that brought about a lot of debate and conflict in the body of Christ. Because many Christians attribute evil to be a part of his goodness, as it can teach you how to be a better person, or God can get some glory. That's what a lot of people think. It's quiet in this house. Listen, If I were to do to my children what people accuse God of doing to his children, I would be arrested for child abuse.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
People say that God's good, yet they credit him with causing cancer and natural disasters, and they blame him for terrorist activities and things like this. Some try to escape the pain of even that shameful reasoning, if you ask me. They try to escape that by saying, well, he didn't cause it, but he allowed it. Come on. Come on. Here's the truth, church. He allows what you allow. But one of the great privileges that we all have is that we understand the believer's authority. We're so blessed that we were born into this tribe, if you will. And now it's spreading. It's spreading. There are a lot of the charismatic church believes. I don't know so much about the denominations because I don't hear from them. Maybe they do. But people just grew up thinking that God was sovereign. He did everything. So it doesn't matter what you do. He's going to choose whether you're going to live or die or have this or have that. And you need to go through it because it'll build character. And that is all a lie. You're going to build character, all right, but it's going to be by how you become responsible for this word. It's going to be how you learn to obey the Holy Spirit, how good you learn to function in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And take the responsibility of it and not try to deal with problems and think that that's teaching you something. Now, can you grow while you're in a situation? Absolutely. But God is not the source of that thing. He'll get in there and help you. But he's not trying to keep you in it. He didn't want the wilderness to last for 40 years. It took 11 days to cross. They could have gone on in. But he's not going to pick you up and carry you. Because why? He would love to. But you have to say yes to him. Because men have authority on the earth. He gave it to us in the first chapter. Amen. So, you know, he didn't cause it. And I just think there's no difference in saying cause and allow myself on that one. The only thing I would say is if he allowed it, it's because you allowed it. So some people associate God with sending trouble for punishment. Let's talk about that. But as a New Testament believer, I have to tell you something. Someone took your punishment. Someone took your punishment. So you're not being punished. Now, that's big, and it's still big in some churches even. You were bad, and God is punishing you. I wasn't ready to go here yet, but you know why things happen. You make a wrong decision. Someone around you makes a wrong decision, or you live in a dark world. That's the reason that if you get off the path, if you get out of where you're walking, then there's a chance that, you know, you're going to bump something. But if you stay in God's plan and you're following his plan, and listen, he gives you a chance over and over and over to get back in it. Over and over and over. You can get right back in. It's not your last chapter. You can get right back in. But, you know, if you get out there and start taking a few bumps, you might want to ask, am I off the path here? You know, what's going on? That's the first question. And also know this, that the devil hates the word. He comes to steal the word in you. And he tries to get it right after you get the word. In seed form. To attribute evil to him tragically undermines our purpose on the earth.
Oh, wow.
It cripples our ability to represent Jesus as the manifestation of God's will in the earth toward men. It's absolutely true, isn't it? Our boldness to declare and demonstrate who he is in a given situation is seriously impaired if we're not confident that he's good. It's impaired.
That's so good.
You know that someone has asked you, why do you think God let that happen? Those words. Go all the way back to the truth. There was a guy here who came to church for years. And one day, he's moved away. But one day he said, I was talking to someone. And he came to church here for that long, okay? How many times have you heard the God is good message, okay? And he said, someone asked me why some people don't get healed. And I told him, well, I'm not sure. I guess God has a reason. I said, okay, this just proves to me hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And bless that guy's heart. He may have been great on some other subjects, but he didn't know how to answer that person. He didn't know how to say, oh, honey, the devil is the one hurting you, not God.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So, but see here, when we have the boldness, which is normal for us, for people that are filled with the Spirit of God, when we have a boldness, it draws him into what seemed to be impossible can become possible. He gets involved in it. He absolutely gets involved in it. So that's really a good thing. Amen. So we don't want these things to be impaired. We want to always go back to the right answer. God causing evil, if we believe that, it's going to compromise our ability to discern God's discipline or an actual demonic assault. See, you got to get that out of your thinking. God doesn't have the devil on a chain, and he's pushing him out saying, I'm going to let you out over here on Mata so we can see if we can discipline her. The devil is self-employed. God's not using those kind of things.
It's good.
And so you don't ever have to. Now listen. I'm not going to go there yet. I'll get there in just a second. I'm Russian. I mean, I'm a Texan. I'm not a Russian, but I was Russian. Amen. So, church, it's really a weakness that we can't afford to travel, to carry. We can't travel around with this. We can't actually just, fall back. We can't fall back and decide, well, maybe we were wrong. You're gonna have to know some things. The Word of God has to become tops for you. It's the ultimate authority for you. The ultimate. It won't change. It's never going to change. You've got to go back to it when you're making every kind of decision in every situation. So we can't afford to carry around any of that any longer. People constantly embrace a hellish situation in their lives because of a thought that God intended it for good. Well, God, you know, I'll carry this because I know I'm growing. Haven't you heard people say that? People say that all the time. Well, you know, I'm going through this, but I know the Lord is teaching me patience. Stop it. None of that's Bible. I'll teach you patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a force. You employ it and it'll work for you. That's patience. It's not, I'm learning to wait. That's not patience. Patience is consistent way of living. I'm going to listen to this myself. Praise the Lord. God is so good. I love how he helps us. So you want to be able to, here's the other thing. If you're thinking the wrong way, it infects your God-given ability to discern the works of the devil with human reasoning. That's a demonic nature. The devil has gotten into your reasoning and he's trying to mess with you, but you're not thinking straight. You don't think, and you've been thinking about it and you've been taking the thoughts and you're doing all this, and you need to be able to recognize every time, that's a devil right there.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it was my original thought. Get over that, church. You're not having an original thought. Yeah, you're smart, but you're not having original thoughts. Either way, stuff is God. It's either God given or it's devil given. Yeah, you have critical thinking that you use to do life with. I'm just talking about these things that come in and start striking across you in your soul. Amen. All right. So it isn't just discernment that's in question. Because this kind of breakdown in our assignment to spiritual maturity causes us to forget who the enemy really is. We'll forget who the enemy is. Some people don't think a thing about the devil. They didn't way back there. They're just, here's, and they had a scripture to go with it and still do today. God giveth and God taketh away. And they found that in the scriptures, but they're misquoting the meaning of that. God said, you spoke wrongly of me. They were, Job was talking about him. His little helpers were not helping him, church. They weren't helping him. You can see that, right? Listen, creating doctrines of no miracles today not only contradicts the word, but it's a sneaky way to avoid responsibility. And that's what, well, miracles have passed away. Why? Because you don't have any in your church? John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, how in the world can Jesus say that way over in John and then leave and say, oh, you had 2 weeks to do that. Greater is he that is in you right now, but I'm leaving and all this is going to pass away. Because when the apostles have passed away, all of these things passed away, you see. That's a lie. The gifts of the Spirit are just as powerful today. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm prophesying to you right now. They're going to go up to 100% in this awakening. They're going to be flowing like rivers. Amen. You know, you can really help people if you know this stuff. Creating doctrines of that God is so sovereign that he controls all that happens to you is very dangerous.
Yep, that's right.
Because then you don't even need to use your faith. Why should we even have faith in church? What do we care? Because God's going to do what he wants to do with us. So just hang in there, honey. Choose to just try. You'll make it. And if it be thy will, maybe we can get you delivered. That's all a bunch of junk. It's, that is so diabolical.
Yeah, it is.
It's the total opposite of the good God.
Amen.
People teach it all the time. It's being less and less in the charismatic area. And I pray in the other areas. Yes. Trouble and pain are not teachers of the church. There was a lady who came here for a short time not so long ago. She was so thrilled to find out that God wasn't doing the stuff. I don't know, something called her away or what. She was really excited about that. I wish she would have stayed excited about it. Maybe she will wherever she goes. But I'm telling you, they're like, what? God's not doing all this? I've never heard that before. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't heard it either. In the church I was raised in, I was raised in Baptist church. They taught, you know, that God's doing all of it. Now, they taught us some good stuff, church. Gee, some good stuff. And then I moved from there to an ex-Pentecostal type church. But they still believed it, that God was going to whip us.
Oh, yeah.
It was really big there. They're going to whip us. But they didn't know. And I still know the people today. They taught me so much. But I didn't know. So when my mama died in April 19th of 1980, my dad died in March of 1986, and my mom died in April of 1987, and I was pretty young. And so we didn't know. We didn't know that God could heal them. We had seen it happen, but we still didn't know if it was his will for everybody. Because when I was 8 months pregnant with Toby, I had my very last asthma attack. Because the same man we're talking about came over. He's my pastor. He laid hands on me. And I never had a wheeze again in my life. And never have. And it's the healing's still there. It's still in there. That's what I always say. Still in there. You can't get there. You can't touch that. That's what I believe. So, but we still didn't really know. So we didn't try to even stand in any kind of faith for them. We were just like, well, we're just going to have to watch it happen. And it's sad to say that we have to do that with friends and relatives, and even people who are in faith. We've had to watch them go down, and a lot of times we don't understand. But you have to understand that people lose at the game of life, and sometimes people just run out of time before they get enough revelation to get it. And some people just quit. It's just the truth. The blessing is that they didn't die; they just went to the new place. So it'll be all right. And the grace is there for us to live without them here until we go.
That's right.
And so on and so on. Whatever battle is happening. So you can learn from these things, but never pin this on God.
Right.
Because it's going to hinder your faith. Pastor, you just go over and over and over this every year. We know God is good. Do you?
Yeah.
Because in the heat of a battle, there's a liar who is shouting at you and telling you that God is not going to come through and that he's not showing up and he's causing this. The devil will be shouting at you. Listen, church, I have known wonderful faith people that changed their mind about this truth and about faith when so-and-so of faith died. And these were close people to them, and this came out of their mouth. You know, I guess it was just their time, and God took them. I wanted to smack them. Because I'd spent years and years and years and years and years with them where they're up there preaching that God doesn't do that. But I had one good friend who stood up face to face with me and said, I don't care what it looks like, I believe God's word.
Yep.
One of the family members. I believe God's word, and the word says this.
Amen.
See, in a hard situation like that, you're going to have to go back to the original.
Yes.
And you're going to have to say, it's not you, God. So it's got to be me, or it's got to be this situation. And now don't go judging other people if they fail at this.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. The idea is to move on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That chapter's over. Just go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We let it go. Well, why? Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
God will let you know a lot of things if you'll just get in on there with him. Why did I get so sick and it took me 2 weeks to get over it? Well, just keep going. Just get out. Just move. Well, why didn't I get that job? Keep moving. Well, why did so-and-so break up with me? Just keep moving. Well, why didn't this work out for me? Just keep moving. Just keep going, because the answers will come. But I'll tell you this, when I'm looking at your faces, most of you already know why they happened. You could just go, yep. See it right there? There it is right there.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you judge people. That just means you know. Or you look in the mirror and say, you know. You know. You know why it turned out like that.
Yeah.
We've all been guilty of it. But if we're going to stay in our faith, we're going to have to stay with our roots. God is good. Don't let anybody talk you out of that, and I'm going to spend the next few weeks making sure you are solidly grounded in the fact that God is good, and what he wants to give you, and what kind of covenant he has with you, and what kind of protection you have,
yes.
What kind of relationship you can have with him. Church, you can have heaven on earth. You can have heaven on earth even if stuff's blowing up around you with other people, because they will. You're doing that right now in this country. We all go through times where if we're caretakers or we're doing something where it's hard and it weighs us down, but eventually we get to the place where we get through it and we come out. We do. We come out and we keep moving on. Life isn't always easy, but it can always be good. This will end. This will come out. You are the victor, but you have to stay in that. Don't go down with the ship. Praise the Lord. Y'all like this? All right. It didn't change God. They were just the best people. They had their faith. It didn't change God. He was wanting them to make it. He was wanting them to make it. Some people want to go. Some people want to change. Some people have had enough. Some people are tired of suffering. You don't know how bad people have suffered. You haven't been in their shoes. I'm going to say something you might not think I would say, but I'm going to. What's wrong with just a wonderful Christian death? When you get old enough and you're ready to go. Charles Capps did it. They said, well, this, and this. He said, well, this is Friday. I'm going to leave on Sunday then. So I got it figured out. I'm going to live in my house. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to spend my life with you. And when Toby or Danny come and say, Pastor, Mama, we're going to take you to the nursing home, I'm going to say, I'm going to leave on Sunday. You don't need to. Don't make a room for me. I'm not coming. I'm going to go home and be with Pauline, Virginia, Kathy, yeah, and everybody else, and just be happy. Bonnie Ray, yep. Your mama, your daddy, and Larry's mama, and my mama and daddy. When my dad died, I was very much going to stay on the heaven side. We just really, this was driven to stay on the heaven side, stay out of the grief, stay on the heaven side. And I went barely asleep one night, and I had a vision, and my dad came walking down a country road, and he had on like his hunting and fishing clothes type stuff, which were his normal clothes. Yeah. And so he stopped in the road and he looked at me and he said, are y'all coming? And he turned around and ran off. And that did it for me. I was like, yes, I am, Daddy. I will come. I will be there. And that's all it took. See, God will give you a glimpse. So what's wrong with the good old Christian death? Nothing. Andrew Womack said, they were having a conversation with the kids, you know, and they were talking about, what would you deny Jesus if they said they were going to kill you? And he said, no, I'll go. I'm not denying Jesus for anybody. And so the little granddaughter said, well, Grandpa, if they threatened to kill me, would you deny Jesus? And he said, no. And I thought, that's a man who totally believes God. That God would not let her get hurt. He totally believes. I plead the blood. Totally believes that God would be there. You know why? Because God is good. See, I think we make way too much of stepping over that line. When you step over that line, you're going to be happy. Everyone that I've heard from didn't go, oh, I got to get back. They were like, y'all leave me alone. That one guy, his wife was praying him back. What was her name?
Charlotte.
And he prayed her, she prayed him back into his body. He was running through the fields of glory. Yeah. And he said he was running faster than he could ever believe. He was so thrilled, and he sees a city out there, and he's running toward that city. And all of a sudden, he hears, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And he's right back in his body, and he sits up and says, Charlotte, why'd you do that? It's that good. See, we don't know how good it is. Now, we don't need to be in a hurry to go because we're all young. Because we gotta preach Jesus. But when you do get there, be all right. All right, let me close this thing up. So, we really need to get back to the original. So let me just read this scripture to you. Let's see if you've ever heard this scripture come out of my mouth before. You ready? Everybody ready? John 10:10. The thief cometh not. He didn't come for any other reason but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the word and we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, for this truth and we will stay with it. It is our anchor. We will focus back on the original and we will not compare ourselves with ourselves. We compare ourselves. We look in the mirror of the word of God and we look at what the word says and the word has final authority. We are healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are prosperous because Jesus became poor so that we might become rich. We are protected because you said we could dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We are out of trouble because you said we could plead the blood. You said we are free from sin, sorrow, grief. You said we're free from all of that. And so we claim it today in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. What? God is good. Where'd you get that? Let's receive our offering. Praise the Lord. Man, I love this stuff. Because I'm telling you, in these days, you'd be surprised how people get off. That's why I keep telling y'all. In fact, I'm going to preach this up in the church I'm going to. I'm going to tell them, God is a spirit. You must connect with him through the spirit. He's not connecting with your mind. He's connecting with your spirit. Your mind will let y'all know what's going on. But he connects with your spirit. So if you keep trying to figure things out, he's not helping. That's called toil.
Yeah, that's right.
The blessing works if you'll quit. Let the blessing work. Let the blessing work. Well, I don't know how we can do it. I don't know how. I don't know how. You don't need to know how. God knows how.
That's right. That is so
true. This is a... interesting. I think you've been with us to some of these meetings where they have panels.
Yeah.
And so Deb was on the panel of this one women's meeting. I preached the day before, remember?
Yes.
And so Deb's on the panel the next day, and it's like, what, six women or something, five or six women. So they ask every person the same question. Every time I'd get to Deb, she would say, it's a Holy Ghost call. And she'd say, well, the Holy Spirit, I would ask the Holy Spirit. And I would ask the Holy Spirit. And so I walked away from there. I said, well, Deb, you had the best advice of all. Ask the Holy Spirit. It makes everything easier. And so I was asked to be on the panel this Saturday. And I declined. Because every answer would be, ask the Holy Spirit. Let's receive. Come on. If you'd like to give via text message, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give, 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Because for me, I don't take this wrong, okay? I'm pretty smart on common things, you know. You know, I know what a 16-penny nail is, you know. Things like that. John's like, you sure do, girl. I know what you call I know what a foal is. Do you know what a foal is? What is it? A little, what kind of horse? Yeah. What's the female baby horse?
Filly.
And what's the colt? Got it. We could really give them a question if we talked about mules, couldn't we? Because they have totally different names. But I mean, we know some stuff, but there's just stuff I'd rather not try to figure out. I would just rather hear, do this, and do this, and you've got that.
Yep.
And you know, I've known that for a long time, but when Pastor Nancy came along in our life, she really blew that up for us.
Yeah.
Watching her life,
yeah.
She just followed Holy Spirit through all kinds of victory. Amen.
True.
Amen. All right, we've just about run the clock out, so let's pray for 1 minute and see if God has a word for anyone. Father, we praise you. Kibraste voso kotanda na dalamo sivre heke sovra baraba kosinde na dalamo sabra avraba kosivre beke londo na dalamo sabra baraba koshite ziglavre beke tondo na dalamo sevro hokotol lavra baraba kosom. I just heard the Lord say, tell Bobby to make this confession. I'm raking it in. I'm raking it in. Because son, I've got it for you. You can rake it in. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. And it says too, I can interpret that real easy. You're going to prosper more in the fall. That's when the leaves fall and you rake. You're going to rake it in this season. October is always a huge, prosperous month for us, usually for the church and for, me personally. Deb usually sees it. And so why don't y'all just go ahead and see it? Just go ahead and have a very prosperous October, because usually March and October, for some reason in the spirit world, we rake it in.
Hallelujah.
And now we jumped ahead this month because the church actually got another windfall. So we're just cruising. I tell you, ever since we started planting around the world,
oh yeah,
this place is shaping up.
Yes, it is.
I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. If you're sowing into Mac Hammond's church plant, you better start claiming your harvest, because personally, my accounts have gone up. This place has really gone up.
I'm
telling you. I don't mind telling you all that. It's good. We've been spending it, as you can see. But we needed to. And we sent more out. We sent more out to him today.
Global church plant.
So he's now in Ireland. Oh, no, no, no. We're in Ireland. So you're in Ireland, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, something else in South America. El Salvador. Yeah. Something in Africa. And now you're in Ireland.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. They're going to have more than Lucky Charms there. It's going to be Jesus instead of Lucky Charms. I'm kidding. Have you been? Who said it's beautiful? Anybody been to Ireland? Is it beautiful? It's beautiful, isn't it? I actually have ancestors who are buried in Kilkenny.
Cool.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Dream big, dream big, dream big, dream bigger, dream bigger, dream bigger. This is the season that I'm going to plant new seed for bigger harvest. So dream big. In several areas, just dream bigger. I will tell you the areas on your front porch beginning tomorrow.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone in here, I guess I'm not supposed to tell who you are, but you're saying, I just don't know which way to go. Well, this is what God is saying to you. I'm going to tell you exactly what he's saying. Start saying, I am keen to your guidance. I know which way to go.
Yes.
See, you don't have to ask God to lead you. He's leading you right now. You become keen to that guidance. We're keen to his guidance. We're keen to how to pray. We're keen to what to say. He's talking to you right now. He's talking to you right now. Some people aren't listening, but he's talking. He's talking. If you'll listen, just listen. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.